And it's on page 972 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
For those who don't know me, my name's Gareth Crispin, and I'm a member here at Trinity Church, and it's a pleasure for me to add my welcome to you all, to Collins. And I'm going to pick up the next bit of our service, which is, I don't know what you want to call it, a sharing time. I think officially people say testimonies and things like that. What we thought we'd like to do, Colin and I, when we had a chat about this morning, was take the reading, which we're going to unpack a bit more in due course, but take that idea of building our lives on the foundation of Jesus and talk to a couple of people from our church family about that process through their life. So, Joan and Mikey, if you want to come on up here with me, I'll just move this out of the way. Here we go. Yeah, if you just stand here, Joan, that would be great. Yep, there we go. Marvellous. does it look, were you her minders? Is that what it looks like? Yeah. So I've got a few questions for these guys, just to unpack some of the things about their lives and how they've been building their foundation, or not maybe, over the years, on the words of Jesus. But I would love to give the opportunity for you to ask them a question specifically off the back of what they've been saying. So if you're listening and you think, I'd love to know a bit more about what Joan said or where Mikey said that, I'll give you the opportunity. If there's no questions, no problem, we'll just move on. But if there are questions, then that's something we can bring in at the end of this. So what we're going to do is start off with an easy one first up, and is just ask the question, are you both the sort of people that make New Year's resolutions? Just talking generally speaking, I don't know if you ever do one of the ones that that Colin was talking about. Joan, we'll go first with you. Are you a New Year's resolution type person?
Well, I used to be, but not now.
Not now.
I don't do it now.
In the past, what ones have you made in the past?
Well, usually with a Christian basis, to read my Bible more.
Yeah, those sorts of things.
That sort of thing, to be a better person.
And which is where we're hoping to go with at the end of the service. So, Mikey, what about you? Have you ever done any?
No, but I think I'm going to try and read 23 new books this year.
23 new books?
Yeah.
Why 23?
Ooh, 2023, isn't it, guys?
Oh, okay. It's lucky it's not 2052, is
yeah,
it?
Like, yeah, I'll be sure. I mean, I've never read the Harry Potter books by myself, so I've got like a solid, I've read a couple already, but I've got a solid like five.
Okay.
So I figured, I thought I started with about like 10, but then I thought it'd be too easy if I enjoy Harry Potter, that would take out half of it already.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Felt I'd be cheating.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Harry Potter series and a load of other books as well.
Yeah.
Good, right, okay. Now, getting into the meat of what we're talking about today, our reading there from Matthew chapter 7, the wise and foolish builder. And there's various things we could sort of talk about here. One of them is this idea of where we haven't built our lives on the words of Jesus. And this is asking you to bare your soul a little bit. But you may end up saying, no, I have prepped these guys with these questions. And you may say, no, I've never done that, Gareth. But is there a time in the past where you look back and you think, I haven't really been building my life on the words of Jesus? Do you got examples of that and how it impacted your life? Maybe start with Mikey this time.
No, I'm yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Right. No, and Joan, no. Right, next question.
Yeah, I think maybe kind of similar, I guess one of my idols is comfort. So when I choose comfort, that feels like a foolish building because it's so finite. And just kind of, once you're comfortable, then you get lazy and then it's all just a bit rubbish.
Okay, comfort. So, yeah. Okay.
That's not that comfort's bad in itself, but when you start building on comfort.
And making it an idol in that sense, and a foundation for everything. Yeah. Okay, comfort. Okay, thank you. Joan?
Well, I was quite young when I became a Christian. I was only 12, so it took me a long time to learn to trust God. And so therefore, it took a long time before I sought wisdom from him, and basically wanted to do my own thing.
So generally speaking, doing your own thing rather than,
making my own decisions, not doing sinful things necessarily, but just not seeking his plan for my life.
Mm-hmm. And just want to push you on this and just ask you both, how did it then go for you? Because you've said not seeking God's plan and doing your own thing, and you specifically talked about comfort. How did that then go for you in your life? How did that pan itself out, that relying on comfort or that doing your own thing?
I think just a lack of fulfillment and lack of joy. I think especially, it's something that I still struggle with now. So when I feel myself erring away from building my life on Jesus, and when I come back, it's chalk and cheese how much better Jesus is as a foundation compared to anything else. And just, I think it's just feels empty, kind of like mist or something. Just
okay.
Rubbish.
Right, so when you've built your life on comfort, not Jesus' words, you've not found fulfillment.
Yeah.
Even though you thought that's what you wanted.
Yes.
Nah. Okay, Joan, what about you?
Because I hadn't sought God's wisdom, really, it might have saved myself a lot of heartache in my life. However, any heartache that's been there, God has used, I believe, and taught me more of him and more about myself as well, how much I need him.
God teaches us through the difficult things as well as the good, but that's another passage in another service. lastly then, and if you've got any questions off the back of what they're saying, after this question's your moment. So our Bible reading there also talks about putting Jesus' words into practice. So it's almost like the reverse, kind of question, really. Do you have examples in your life where you can identify, that's when I was putting Jesus' words into practice, and that is kind of how it went differently at that point. Joan, should we go back to you first?
Well, at one time in my life, I was going through lots of quite severe depression. And of course, I was having antidepressants each time. And so I got better, and that was fine. But they kept coming. And one day, I remembered some teaching that I had a way back. And it was from the verse in, I think it's 1 James, James. And it was that we should submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so I just said simply, because one morning I suddenly realized these symptoms were coming back and I hadn't recognized them before. And so I just said, I resist you, depression, in the name of Jesus. And from that time, I've had no symptoms of depression. And if I get a bit low, then there's other things I do. But
yeah, thank you, Joan. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, Mikey.
I think my job. I think. So I work for a church. Not all Christians should have to work for a church, but I think for me, I don't think there's anything I could do that's better. I think it just feels like following Jesus would lead to doing something about getting to talk about Jesus lots of the time.
And how's that panned out for you now in the last year, because you've been working?
It's been a joy. I think watching my school friends, I remember I bumped into one of my school friends and he talking about how some of his mates at uni were getting kind of huge sums of money for their first jobs at big financial firms. And I just kind of, it was just a bit like, I get to talk about Jesus with the kids like once, twice a week, and get to spend time with them and see them growing up more as Christians. And I get to, you know, what a privilege to get to, you know, be in the Bible 7 days a week. It's great. So it's panning out pretty well. It's great. Feel fulfilled.
Feel compared to before. Yes. You're doing life on comfort. Yeah. Hold on to the microphone, because Joan, I know you want to read a couple of a passage or two, but are there any questions that anyone's got for Joan or Mikey about anything they've said or anything else, although not just what their favourite cheese is or something like that, but excuse me. Anyone like to ask them anything? It's okay if not, but if you did. Over coffee you can as well, of course. No. Okay. Joan, what did you want to read us?
It's some verses from Psalm 32. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me.
Thank you so much. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then afterwards Chris is going to come up and lead the rest of us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you have done in Mikey and Joan over the years. We thank you, although they've got very different experiences of you, that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. And Lord, that we can, whilst we grieve times in the past where we haven't based our lives on you, we can see that even then you've taught us. But we do thank you, Lord, where through the work of your Spirit in our lives, we see Joan and Mikey keeping in step with your Spirit, basing their lives on the teachings of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that that then does not necessarily bring an easy life, as the world would see it, but a life that is fulfilled in you. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thank you. Chris. Such a fool. That line, or some line like that, has appeared to great effect in lots of films, hasn't it? I guess my favourite was the... I'm an 80s kid, so I used to love the A-Team. Hands up if you used to love the A-Team. Is it just me? Oh, we got some... Yeah. You remember Mr. T? You're a sucker fool. He used to say that to everyone, basically, as his opening line. Or if you like Lord of the Rings, we've been reading and watching Lord of the Rings in our house. It feels like about as long as Tolkien took to write it, we're taking to read it and watch it. But you get that bit when Gandalf in the Mines of Moria, he calls one of the, it's one of the hobbits, I don't know which, is it Peregrine, or I don't know which one it is, he calls him a fool of a took. So that's one of the insults in our house, you're a fool of a took. No one wants to be a fool. You don't want to be a fool. You don't want to look like the person who is a fool, do you? And as Christians, we shouldn't want to be fools either. Although I will start, before we get on to the story that Jean read to us and that we looked at, where we're going to think about being wise and how we want to be wise, I will just say that at the beginning of 2023, it is right for sometimes for us to be fools. It is right as Christians that we should sometimes be fools. Paul in 1 Corinthians writes how actually sometimes the Christian message is going to look like foolishness to people who aren't Christians. This person died for your sin. He rose again. Oh, please. It's madness. You're going to look like a fool. And actually, that's okay. Because in God's eyes, at that point, you're looking wise for trusting in him, not a fool. So in that sense, we need to be ready to be happy to be seen as fools for Christ. That's a good way to be a fool. But in the Bible passage we had today, of course, we don't want to be fools in that sense, in the sense that we're thinking about today from Matthew chapter 7. We don't want to be like the foolish builder. We want to be like the wise builder. And we're going to look a little bit more at those verses now to understand a bit more about that. And then we're going to, with bits of paper and pens ready, start to actually build that into our lives and apply that into our lives. It's one of these classic Bible stories, this one, isn't it? It's got all the elements of being a classic. It's really punchy and concise. It's clear, and it's got an iconic song that goes with it. But don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. Everyone's relieved at that, I'm sure. But it's got a great, great sense of being a powerful, punchy story. But because it is one of those classic Bible stories, sometimes we overlook maybe some of the details that go along with it. So we're just going to pause and look at a couple of those. Take, for example, maybe quite importantly, or most importantly, is what comes before this story. Because it's not separate from everything else that comes before it in Matthew chapter 7. Colin, when I met with Colin to talk about this service, and we read these verses to start to think about what we'd do today, as soon as we started reading, Colin said, "Oh, what comes before it?" And that's because Colin knows that phrase that some of you know. When you see a therefore, ask what it is there for. And so we read the preceding verses. And we're going to just look very briefly at those now. Looking at, if you want to get your Bibles open again, on page 972, we've got two bits that come before the bit we just read. We've got verses 15 to 20 and verses 21 to 23. But Jesus talks firstly about false prophets and then false disciples. So let's go from verse 15. "Watch out for false prophets," says Jesus. "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." People pretend to be God's prophets, but by their fruit, what they do, you will recognize them as false. Verse 21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me," this is Jesus speaking again, "not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Therefore, in light of what Jesus just said about false prophets and false disciples, therefore, because of that, this, what we've just read, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So this story, Wise and Foolish Man, is actually about what it means to be a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus, because it's about us, isn't it? It's about those who hear the message. Did you see that in the reading? It's those who hear. The wise and foolish builder both hear the words of Jesus. This is about the church. It's about us, those who hear the words of mine, says Jesus. Now, before we think a little bit more about exactly what it means to be a foolish and a wise builder, there is a bit of a balancing act here. I've got my slides here now. I'm going to put some slides up. There's a few balancing acts in the Christian life that you've got to do. Like, you know, when you're doing a tightrope walk and you don't want to fall off one way or off the other way, you want to stay in the middle. Okay, so it's one of these balancing acts that we just need to think about very briefly. We see we face two dangers here that lie on a range with extremities, like one to the left, one to the right, and we don't want to go to the extremes. One danger is that we think the Christian life is all about thinking the right thing. Now, it is about thinking the right thing, but one danger is we think that's all it's about, just thinking the right thing, believing the right thing. Or the other danger is we think the Christian life is just doing the right thing. Now, of course, it is about doing the right thing, but it's not just about that. It's about both of those things. Next slide. Look what I did. I brought them together. That was clever, wasn't it? It's about doing and thinking the right thing. Now, different passages in the Bible stress one or other of those. They focus on one or other of those things. And our verses today focus on the doing. It's a little bit like the thing that Colin was talking about earlier. You know, if you're a gym member, that means you've signed up and you've paid your dues, but you actually go as well. It's thinking and believing, but it's also doing. That's the Christian life, isn't it? But even when we think about that idea of doing and putting into practice, that's what our passage is focusing on today, on the putting into practice, the turning up to the gym kind of thing, the starting to lift weights. Even though it's focusing on that, we do face another danger, another tightrope that we need to tread here. And that's our next slide. Thanks, John. And that is when we do the Christian life, when we practice it, that's the hand, when we do that, we can either think, it's all my work, I'm doing it in my power. Or we can say, well, of course, it's God's work in my life, and it's God's work, and that's it. When, of course, it is both those things. I think Paul captures it brilliantly in his verse in Colossians. Thanks, John. Here from Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. This is what Paul says. He says, that's why I, Paul, work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. He's struggling so hard, but depending on Christ's power that works within you. He's balancing, he's on that tightrope, he's making sure he's not going one way or the other. So we're both to believe with our mind and believe the right things and think the right things and act, but when believing and acting, we're supposed to do it in God's strength, but we are to do it and embrace that. So, that all said, here we are in Matthew chapter 7. And we've got people who are listening to Jesus' words. And what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They've heard the word, like us. We've heard the word. What are we going to do? There's two sets of people, aren't they? Aren't there? Yes, thanks, John. There's those who hear Jesus' words and put them into practice. They do them, the hand. And they are the wise people. They're the wise people. They build their life on the words of Jesus. And when the wind and rain of life, the difficult things that life throws at them, come along, their house stands. Their life stands. That's what the house represents, doesn't it? Your life. And it stands because it's built on the foundation of Jesus' words. But then there's the fools. Thanks, John. And the fools don't build their life. They hear, they listen to Jesus' words, but they don't build their lives on that foundation. They don't put them into practice. They don't put Jesus' words into practice, and they're called the fools. The fools. Because when the rain and the wind of life come and beat against their house collapses. Strikingly then, the fool in this story is the false disciple of the previous bit in Matthew chapter 7 and the false prophet of the bit before that. They're the same people. So do you want to be a fool? Well, in this sense that we're talking about in Matthew chapter 7, I hope not. We should not want to be fools. And it's important, isn't it? Because if you are a fool, then when the wind and the rain beat against your house, and it will, your house will collapse. But I was just thinking, what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean for your house to collapse? It's not a real house, is it? It's not a house in terms of physical building of bricks and slate and wood. It's our lives. What does it mean for our lives to collapse? Because I guess if you're like me, you see all sorts of people in the Bible and all sorts of people who live around you who hear Jesus' words and don't put them into practice, and they seem absolutely fine. It doesn't look like their house, their life has collapsed around them. Even when they've had some problems, it still doesn't seem that their life has collapsed. So what can it mean? Well, I think it means their life as a true life has collapsed. I think that's what this is really about. It's about life in God. If we don't base our lives on Jesus' words, if we don't put Jesus' words into practice, then we're not truly alive. Our house, in that sense, collapses. When Jesus looks at those false disciples at the end of time, he says, I never knew you. You never had true life. You weren't really a disciple. That's what it means for your house to collapse. It may have looked like you were a disciple. It may have looked like you were wise. But in actual fact, you were a fool. It's that serious, isn't it? It's a serious thing. And because it's serious, Colin and I felt we wanted to stop and reflect on this. At the beginning of 2023, we thought, let's just take some time now to think about what that means for us. We've heard a little bit from Joan, a little bit from Mikey, but we're going to do that now with pens and paper. And if you put the next slide up, please, John. We're going to think about this question. Remembering it's not just our work, it's God's work in our life as well. Remember Paul's words, I struggle depending on his strength. We want to answer this question. What do you think it might look like for you to base your life in Jesus' words, to put them into practice in the coming year? What do you think it might look like for you to base your life on Jesus' words, to put them into practice this coming year? And you can talk about it in groups, and you can write on one sheet between you if you want, or you can do it on your own. And we're going to give you some time to do that, a few minutes, just so if you'd want to talk at that point and there'd be a bit of noise, that's fine. Then what we're going to do is, Colin's got his magic iPad thing, and we're going to gather them in anonymously, so we won't be putting your name up on the board, so don't worry about that. And we're going to create, if you like, a corporate, a collective, a church-wide New Year's resolution list of how we're going to base our lives on Jesus' teaching, how we're going to put his teaching into practice this coming year. I hope that's clear. If not, I'll be walking around and you can say, I don't understand anything you've said to me today, Gareth, and I can have another go. But just have a go at that for a few minutes, and then we'll gather those in. Okay? Okay.